I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey everybody, welcome to the All Dick is Trash podcast. The podcast about sex, dating, relationships, and all things in between, including quarantine. Candy, I'm here with my producer, editor extraordinaire, quarantine queen, Candy Haro.
Yes, I am thriving.
Are you thriving? I mean, look, let me tell you something about Candy. Candy's the hardest working woman in Beverly Avenue or Beverly Road.
Actually, I can't even say Flatbush because there's a lot of like aunts and moms that outwork me here.
Yeah, that's true. You can't say that. But this bitch was working like, you were working like 60-hour weeks and stuff before.
Well, I was working 90-hour weeks and then 90... it went down to 60.
You were like, working 90-hour weeks and then it went down to 60. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You were working a lot. So how does it feel to like not be working so much?
It's really dumb how much of life I missed out on. Like, it's nice to cook.
Yeah.
And I've just been reorganizing my whole apartment. And now that I'm here, I'm buying nicer furniture for it because I don't want to be depressed.
We have a great episode today. But before we get that, I wanted to first do my, like, Trash Dick anthology. And then get into an amazing Trash Dick confession submission that we got from the Midwest. So before we get started with that, I wanted to share a story about this guy who named Gary. And when I used to work for a Japanese company, it was only like, at the time it was only like 6 or 7 people in this office, like less than 10. And then, we're trying to grow our U.S. office. And this guy, I get it. Like, they interviewed this guy and they said, you know, this guy Gary. I'm calling him Gary. That's not his real name. And he, like, LinkedIn requested me immediately. And I was like, this is fucking weird. So then he comes in and he just tries. You know the kind of person who, like, just tries so hard to get people to like him that you're not even really sure what his personality is?
Yes.
So at first, you know, it was like me and some young, like, other American people, like, you know, like, we're all in our 20s. And he tried to, like, fit in with us And it was so ridiculous that it was, like, hard to see, like, what his real personality was. He lived in, like, Woodside, so, like, I had a party at my friend Lexi's house, and I invited him, and he was so, like, trying so hard, and then he was, like, flirting with me, and he put his hand on my back, and I was like, oh, I don't know about this guy. And then, something switched as he started to curry more favors with, like, my Japanese bosses. He just became such a dick. And, like, just the biggest, like, trash dick thing that he did was, so we had a company car, and the car was parked in Midtown, right? So it was like a Lexus in a parking lot, and you have to, like, email ahead of time and all this stuff. So the whole company would use the car and share it. So I would use it. One day I remember I used the car, and because I had, like, to pick up 4 or 5 boxes of t-shirts. Anyway, so I was the last person to use the car. I used the car, like, on Monday. On Tuesday or Wednesday, Gary, I almost said his real name, he sends an email to the whole company and was like, somebody didn't put gas in the car, and I almost, like, I was so nervous, like, that I didn't almost make it to New Jersey, and as soon as I crossed the bridge, I had to find a gas station in New Jersey to blah blah blah. And if you, everyone knows company policy is you have to refill the gas tank before you turn it blah blah blah, blah. And, like, he sent it to me, and, like, everybody knew that I was the last person to use the car, but I'm just like, why didn't you fucking tell me, you bitch? Like, I would have, like, first of all, how many gas stations do you know are in Midtown?
Yeah, like.
And then how much is gas in New York City versus how much is gas in New Jersey? Like, New Jersey gas is famously $1 cheaper per gallon than any other fucking gas. And also, you're just a bitch. Like, you're such a fucking bitch. He did that because... Yeah, first of all, you're a bitch. And he started this culture that ended up, like, being why I left that company. And where it's, like, instead of talking to you in person, they CC the whole company on some shit that very clearly only applies to you. So, yeah, that guy was, like... And I was, like, wow. And I was, like, literally, like, 24 or 25. I was 25, and I was like, what the fuck is this guy's problem? Like, what the hell? Like, what a bitch. And, like, now I know that's just fucking trash dick. And that's what I mean. All dick is trash. Never slept with him. Nothing like that. Oh, and you want to know another thing? He was so flirty. He was so whatever, blah, blah, blah. After he was, like, after him have, like, working there for a year, I found out he had, like, a secret family in Japan. He had, like, a daughter and a wife.
Bro, I'm telling you, know how I feel about secret families. Everyone's got them. If you're coming here for a gig, everyone's got a secret family.
Yo.
There's descarados everywhere.
Descarados, yo. And I'm like, why were you flirting with me, you bitch? Why did you never bring up your family, you bitch? But anyway,
let me just point out, though, you experience 2 types of shitty behavior. You got trash dick, and you have a subset of rata, snitch-ass, bitch-ass behavior, which is its own animal. I will never trust a snitch until I die. That's the only thing I've carried. I stay true to my whole life. No snitching.
Well, you know what? I will say snitching is not black and white, because I will say update on my neighbors. Update on my neighbors is that I did...
That's petty.
Cause my neighbors were fighting, and I did have, like, a whole podcast episode about my neighbors, and they were fighting, and I did have to call the police on them. So my family does call me Takeshi 6ix9ine, because they say I'm a huge, huge snitch. And then my mom's like, Takeshi gang? And then my brother's like, tú sabes, Takeshi, él un rapero mexicano. And I'm like, oh my god, I fucking hate you. So, okay, Candy, before we get to the wonderful TR, we did get a submission, a trash dick confession that's anonymous. So, we got 2 from one of our listeners in Iowa. I'm really excited.
Not that anonymous. How many listeners can we have in Iowa?
Damn it, man. Damn, man. Well, no one knows. We know, but no one knows this woman. Okay. So the first one. So once when I was 20, I went on a first date with a guy I met on Plenty of Fish. Already red flag. He was clearly a drug addict. Parentheses, though my naive ass didn't realize. We got in his car and drove around talking. Parentheses, his idea. And he led me to a T-Mobile store. Once we got there, he started crying about his phone bill and begged me to pay it because they were gonna shut his phone off. He swore he'd pay me back, and $200 later, I immediately regretted it. I asked him to pay me back ASAP, and then he went crazy, jumped out of my moving car, and ran off. I never heard from him or my $200 again.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay.
Like, that's trash dick, but that's some tonteria. That's some tonteria. I don't want to victim blame, but that's tonteria. Damn, $200 at the T-Mobile store. What a bitch. What a first date idea, too. Damn.
That's honestly really smart. Because, like, if you think about it, they never had it. Like, the person who went on the date never had a chance. Because, you know, like, girls just ask for dinner. But, like, this guy had a whole MO. Like, he fucking knew. It's like, I need my phone bill paid. Or else I can't be talking to bitches on Plenty of Fish.
Yeah, but where did he use the $200 for drugs? I mean, like, why wouldn't he just get her to buy him drugs? I don't know. I mean,
well,
I guess.
No, I think phone bills are like $50. One.
Well, not T-Mobile. I don't know because I have no grasp on how much phones are because I've been having like Cricket and Metro PCS forever. That like when people tell me how much like a Sprint or a Verizon phone bill costs, they're like, yeah, I spent $190 this month. And I'm like, how the fuck? I spent a flat $60 and they cut my shit off if I don't pay it on the 25th at 50, like at 11:59 p.m. I'm fucking getting my shit cut off. Like, so I have no idea. Okay, this is another one. This is another one from her, though. So another confession. Another time, I went over to this guy's house late at night for a booty call. When we got to his house, he told me to get naked and wait for him in bed. Again, 20-year-old blank, that's her name, didn't make the smartest choices, and she didn't realize anything was up. His dog started barking, and he went to go shut them up before they woke up his roommate. I'm laying there in bed, totally naked, when his bedroom door swings open and I hear a woman's voice. Eric, why are you home so late? When I hid under the pillows, I heard her walk towards me, rip the blankets off me and gasp, I don't know who you are. Put your clothes on and get out. It was his mother. He failed to tell me that he lived with his mother. I've never been more embarrassed in my life. All dick is trash.
Aw, that does suck. That sucks for her.
That does suck for her.
Especially because, like, yo, tell me you live with your parents. Like, at 20, I'm still not above that. Like,
Yeah.
I'll come later when I know everyone's asleep. Or,
I guess, like, that's what he was trying to do. But why would he ask her to get naked and wait for me?
Well, because he's probably also 20 and stupid and like, oh yeah, this is going to be super hot. And then they're probably been drinking and then mom walks in to be mad at you because you didn't take out the trash. And then instead she finds a naked woman in his bed.
Who are you? I don't know who you are.
You know, at that point his mom is...
Put your clothes on again.
If someone who says that's not the first time it's happened to her. She's probably like, God damn it. Learn to wipe your ass before you have naked girls in my house.
Damn, dog. Oh, my God. Like, it's not even, like, bad that he went to bring a girl to his mom's house to fuck. It's just, like, you should communicate that with... Why didn't they fuck in his car?
You know what? I've never had car sex.
Me neither, actually. I'll have car sex one day. Right?
Now I'm too fat for it. I need like a Suburban or something.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. By car, I mean definitely like a SUV at the least. I am not fucking in a smart car. All right, well, that was good. So we have an exciting episode. I'm talking with Tiara Francis, who's one of my really good friends. And we get into it, so I'm really, really excited to share my interview with Tiara Francis. Yay! I gotta like figure out how to get all of my air horns ready.
The air horn sound effects, yes.
The air horn sound effects.
Like a Jamaican.
No, yeah, you can't see Tiara, but she is fully in makeup. Like, she's fully dressed to the nines. I did tell her this was a podcast, but that's neither here nor there. Let's go through a little bit of Tiara's background. So, Tiara, she's at Tiara Francis on Twitter and at Tiara Francis on IG. She fully is, keeping the branding together. Her pronouns are she and her. She was born in Harlem, raised in Teaneck, New Jersey. She attended Barnard. She performed French theater in Barnard. She will only tell you she went to Barnard 80 times if you talk to her. She got into comedy after a recommendation to try UCB while working on Totally Biased with W. Kamau Bell. She's been involved with MTV News, Bustle, Now This Media, IAF-TV, Refinery 29, and Comedy Central. She's a creator of Black Girl Magic, and all of those words don't have vowels. Black Girl Magic, and she's current member of CPT, Comedy People's Time at the Pit. She's a huge Shakira fan, and she mostly dates tall guys.
You really did your research.
Yes. You can. Any thoughts? Anything you want to add? Anything you were surprised that was on there?
Wow, I'm so surprised that you got the Barnard part.
That's the part. Like, you don't bring that up every day. Like, you didn't reshare fucking Greta Gerwig's folded hand selfies. Like, that's a Barnard girl.
Oh my god, that photo. I actually feel like I know where that photo was taken, because like, that was definitely on the Barnard campus. I know those bricks.
Yeah, get it. You went to Barnard. I know those bricks. I know that was on the campus. I know because I was a student there. I was a student. Jeez. Anything else? Yeah. So that you got your life. You wore. Now, were those real Louboutins in that photo, or?
You know what? They might have been. I think they were, because I think she like came from a wealthy family, like a pretty decently well off family.
Listen, you don't date an angry white man who won an Oscar. Did Marriage Story win an Oscar? You don't date an angry white man who feels like who made an autobiographical movie version of himself where he cheats on his wife and wins the MacArthur Genius Grant. You don't get there by not having money. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I mean, you can like date that crowd, but after a while you get sick of it. Like,
unless you are it.
Unless you are it.
Yeah, so here we are, Tiara. We're in the thick of COVID. Woo. We are in the thick of it. Yes, girl.
Miss Rona has everybody going through it. Like, whether you have it, you know someone who has it, whether you're just like thinking about who can get it, just like staying inside. I'm like, I literally will just watch my window for like moments when there's not 8 million people walking their dogs in Harlem just to like go outside for 2 minutes.
Dude, oh my gosh. I kind of am upset that we've gendered Rona, I guess because it's the A. But I'm like, why can't Rona be a man so we can be just like rightfully upset at it?
Right, that's true.
I just don't like people being upset at women. You know,
that's true. COVID-19 is a man.
COVID is a man. Rona's a woman.
If you go by the rules of Spanish grammar,
COVID. And you think Rona's a woman anyway. So, look. Where are you? So, you're on the All Dick is Trash podcast. We know what it is.
Love it.
Huh?
I said love it here.
Love it here. Love it here in the virtual thing. First question. Do you think All Dick is Trash?
I think All Dick is Trash in the way that, like, patriarchy is trash. So it's like, even if you don't have a dick, you can still be like trash dick. You know what I mean?
True. Love. You want to expound on that more? Miss Barnard?
Yeah, I just think, I mean, if you look at it, it's like everyone has to participate in patriarchy for it to be going on this long.
For real.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah. Like, it's not your fault that you're participating. It's like hard because I have this conversation with Marsha all the time because, like, with capitalism and black people, it's like, you know, you see Jay-Z and he's like, we're going to change things from the inside. And then people like criticize him because they're like, you know, you shouldn't even be participating in. It's like, how much can we blame people for participating in a society that they're a part of? But at the same time, how much of them being a part of it is perpetuating it further?
Right. I say this all the time. Somehow, like, no matter what podcast I do and, like, what the subject is, somehow it comes out that it's like, I love socialism, but I also just want to make a lot of money. Because, like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, like, this whole COVID-19 thing just, like, makes me realize how much, like, I just want to make money so, like, my mom doesn't have to work. Because, like, my mom is still working through all this. You know what I mean?
Oh, I just got off the phone with my brother. And he's like, look, like, I have rent. My landlord doesn't fucking care. I'm going to do, all his patients are nurses. He lives, he does hair in Miami, and all his clients are Jamaican and Haitian nurses. And he goes and he codes his nose and he tries to do two a day so he can get $50 so that he can pay his landlord something a week. Because his landlord does not give a fuck about what's going on. So he's like, right. And he's like, and you know what? I don't even have kids. My neighbor has 3 kids and she's trying to find a way. So they're telling us to stay home, but like they don't, you know what I mean? So it's just right, tough. Right. It's just fucking tough.
Yeah. And it's like, the thing is, if my mom even like, she's classified as an essential worker because she works at an assisted living facility,
mm-hmm.
You know, so she's an essential worker and it's like, okay, if you're so essential, like, do you get a raise? Like, are you going to have like 2 months off after this? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And we know the answer to that. And that's the crazy part. But anyway, so all dick is trash. Great. So thank you for coming on our show. And, let's talk about your experience. I mean, you know, in the way that you say, like, you are definitely one of the people who I tease about because I love, you know, from a place of love. But
Millie roasts me all the time.
Girl, you love it. Cause man, you be leaving yourself ripe and open. But it's
a pure spirit.
Girl, what I was going to say was it's really funny that you say you cannot have a dick but still participate in trash dick culture. Because you definitely don't have a dick, but you know what? I don't blame you. You know what I mean? But I want you to speak to that if you want to, of like, you know, we'll get there. But I want to hear first off, what has been your most trash experience, your trash dick experience? Now it can be dating, it could be sexual, it could be whatever. You know what I mean?
I mean, there's so many to choose from.
I know. It's hard to be like, what's your favorite? The pressure of like, what's your favorite movie or favorite song is so infinite. I want you to think of your top favorite or the one that's coming to mind now and like free yourself from the pressure of like, is this the most trash? Because there's just been too many to count.
I know.
For all of us.
I think the one that comes to mind immediately is just like, because I was like preparing for this, I was just thinking about like men. And the men who I dated in particular, and like I used to have this thing where I always dated older men, and they were like all trash. And I think one of the most trash ones was when I lived in Paris when I was studying abroad. I was dating this French dude who I should have known like something was off because he like picked me up in this like Brazilian club and just he was like, oh my gosh, your like skin is so pretty and like you're so exotic and
skin
so,
is so pretty. Oof. That sounds like some fucking Silence of the Lambs shit, dog.
He was just
you like, do have pretty skin though. You do have pretty skin, I will
thank
say.
Thank you. But yeah, he was like 30 something and I was like 20. Like I wasn't even 21 because like I was on the younger side during school. So I wasn't even 21 yet because I remember I couldn't even drink when I got back from in America when I got back from study abroad. And like he was 30 and we started dating and he was like super fun. He was a Leo. We had a good time, but he would always do this thing when we went out where he would just be like, oh my God, she's like so smart. Like we read Celine in the park. Like her French is so good. She's so smart to justify it to his friends. And then like, you know, I was going along with it. It was groovy or whatever. But then one day I was like, oh, let's hang out. And he was like, oh, I actually have something to do. And so I went out with my friends and I run into him at the club that we were at. And he's rolling on Molly.
Girl, honestly, I don't blame him. He said he got something to do. Molly is an activity. I don't blame him for not wanting to see you. Did he or did he not have something to do? Okay, Tiara. Okay, Tiara, but honestly, now that we're 30, do you blame him? Because to me, I'm always like, oh, man. Like, when I said somebody in their 30s and they didn't have their shit together, I'm like, oh, man, what a fucking loser. And now I'm in my 30s and I'm like, dude, being on Molly in a club, especially now in the COVID times, like... Do not blame them. Go off, King.
Yeah, no, in hindsight, maybe that wasn't the worst. I think the worst was when he invited me to hang out with a bunch of his friends, and one of them was his, like, equally ethnic ex-girlfriend from London, and he then asked us to have a threesome. So that's the point of that.
Well, when you mean Ethan, you know what's so crazy? Is that the stereotype of French guys... is that they love black women.
They do.
They do. No. And I thought it was, like, literally, when I was growing up in you know, in Florida, but also, like, I remember my parents would we would spend every vacation in Dominican Republic, and we would go to, like, these remote towns, these beautiful villas. We went to this beautiful villa. It's like a, it wasn't even a hotel. It was like literally like a commune, like acreage with small houses on it and a big pool in the middle right off the beach. And I don't even know how my mom fucking found this place. And it's like this young, like she's like younger. Now at that point, she was probably in her 40s. And the guy she was with is in his like 65, almost 70. Like this. And then she was telling me the story of how she met her husband. And she was like, yeah, I was the poorest girl in this town because we're in like this rural part of DR. She's like, he came here on vacation, scooped me up when I was young, took me to, and like she was like flexing. It wasn't even like, I don't even think the creepy thing even registered. She's like, he scooped me up. I lived in France. Now he's retired. We bought all this property and now we own the biggest plot of land in this whole town and everyone used to shit on me. Now I flex on them and blah, blah, blah. And then she turns to me and she's like, you would do great in France, especially with your hair. And I was like, what? So I always was like, I always had that like experience. But then when I was in London and like, I was talking to this black girl and then her friend's like, oh my God, her ex-boyfriend's here. He's super French. And then I'm like, what does that mean? It's like, oh, you know, they just love black girls. And I'm like, what? So
they do. And she's right. Like they love curly hair. Like dudes used to put their hands in my hair.
Hell no.
In France. And like, I mean, I had to, I walked past this like famous restaurant all the time. I lived in like the fifth quarter in France, and I had to walk past this like famous restaurant all the time. And so dudes would be out there like drunk at night, and literally every single time, some dude would be like, "Let me walk you home," and like, And I'm like, you don't realize how creepy that is. And so one time I just let this dude walk me home and he was trying so hard. He's like, oh, well, I walked you home. Give me a kiss. And I'm like,
no, dog.
What part of the game is this? No.
This is level 5. Yeah, so that's just so funny that, you know, French guys are like that.
I mean, now I would take a French guy, though. If any Frenchmen listen to
this. Yo, and let me tell you.
French citizenship.
I, because I was only in France for, like, 2 or 3 days, like, a month ago, and that's why I know I have COVID. But I'm kidding. No. But I was in France a month ago, and, I have Tinder Gold, so I can see everybody who swiped right on me. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, this bitch was popping, but the bitch did not have time. If I had a week, then I could set some shit up, but I just did not have time to be meeting up guys, and they don't even speak English. But Mama was doing well. So your most trash experience. Now, I want to hear, because I know you got some trash shit that you've done. And I'm going to leave this time open if you want to share anything trash that maybe you've done, because I could think of a few, but again, no, but in the way of like, I've been trash, like I've ghosted a guy when he told me he worked at, like, not for TSA, but for the contracting company that helps out TSA, and I was like, that's a whack-ass job, and then I ghosted him. Like, and I'm not proud of it, but, you know, I've been trash in my past, too, and there's a million other times that I've been trash, where a guy asked me, one time this guy asked me if I was sleeping with anyone else, and I just laughed, and I don't think, you know, maybe you're not, you know, maybe, like, you're not supposed to, you know, feed into men's insecurities by laughing at them. Maybe that wasn't the best way to navigate that, but, you know, I know that you know, you have some confessions, and I want you to, you know, COVID is the time for confessions, and I want you to feel comfortable being vulnerable and, like, sharing with us about something that maybe you're not that proud of, but you still, you know, that maybe one day somebody who wants to have sex, I feel like if you listen to the podcast, if like podcast I'm a guest on, that means you want to fuck me. So somebody who wants to fuck you is listening to this. So being conscious of, like, the thin balance of vulnerability, but also that maybe there's possible that it might get out.
I know. Okay. See, I feel like you're thinking of things that I was like, I feel totally justified in terms of.
No, listen. I'm saying there's some shit that is grimy, but justifiable. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, like, no judgment here.
Okay, I have one. So it's probably one that you're not thinking about, though. But so a while ago, I dated this, like, bartender, and he was, like, super good looking. He was from Cape Verde, tall, and we dated for a bit. But then, like, one time, like, while we were, like, hanging out, I wasn't, like, super into it because I'd be like, I don't know. Just like, do you read Benjamin? And he'd be like, what? And then I'd be like, all right, let's just have sex.
Like, I'm sorry, I was in a literary frat at at Barnard. Do you read Benjamin?
I'm way less pretentious now. Life will do that to you.
Life will remind you, girl. Life will remind you.
But at the time, I was like mad pretentious, and I was like, all right, but he was like, do whatever. And then he didn't, like, text me for a month, and then he texted me like, yo, what's up? And I was like, you tell me what's up, because I already moved on. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, you know, I'm busy, I'm a bartender. And I was like, okay, dog, whatever. And so we would, like, see each other because he bartended literally at a bar right up the block from me that has really nice cocktails. So I would see him every once in a while, but we, like, didn't really reconnect. And then there's this cafe by me where this, like, dude works. He's, like, really cute. One of our friends actually came to the cafe and was like, yeah, he's really cute. Like, you should hit it. So I would hang out at this cafe, and it, like, also serves drinks and stuff. So we'd be drinking, and, like, one time it was like, okay, you should come out with us. So I went out with them, and I show up. They're like, all right, we're calling the Uber. I show up, and the bartender that I dated is also coming.
Damn.
So... we go to the souk, which you know is like so trash. We go to the souk, and I had to spend the entire night just splitting my attention between the two of them because I didn't want to, like...
You didn't want to fuck over either... Like, you didn't want to fuck up the bag for either of them.
I didn't want to fuck up the bag for either of them. And it was, like, also, like, my ex was, like, buying me drinks and stuff and dancing with me.
Oh, my God. You know, every time I try to do that, it fucking backfires so hard.
It did.
Like, every time, like, some Kenan Thompson having a date at the same Chinese restaurant walking back, every time I do that, I did that once, and the guy was like, I'll be right back. I told you about that night. I'll be right back, and then I turn, and he's making out with a girl at the bar, and I'm like, damn, dog. Damn, brutal.
See, that's what happens. It's like, everyone is trying to, like, split their attention, so it's like, you can't be mad if it doesn't, like...
Go off, yeah. I was mad at him. I did cuss him out, but you know what? There are a few things I'm sure of in my life. I'm 100% sure that he regrets that decision. But yeah, anyway... I need you to talk about the coworker you had who would send you pictures of his weaves. Please start from the beginning and because that is trash dick behavior.
That's trash dick behavior, and it just goes to show you it doesn't even have to be, like, someone you're dating for it to be trash dick behavior. Like,
oh, definitely not.
So I worked at this, like, restaurant that was, like, a mid-level restaurant. They tried to be, like, fancy, and they overcharged for everything on the Upper West Side. And I was a hostess there, and... we would all, like, hang out after our shifts. So, you know, like, when you work in a restaurant, you get off, like, mad late. And so we'd be, like, hanging out, and most of us would just, like, go drink tequila or something at the Mexican spot down the block. But he would be, like, smoking K2.
I mean, okay, hold on a second. Disclaimer, K2 is a serious drug. If you know, or if you or someone you know has a problem with K2, please talk to somebody. There's help out there for you. But synthetic marijuana is a drug. It's really...
It is. I feel like there should be a non-profit to give, like, real weed to, like, people who can only get K2.
You know
it's
what?
It's so bad.
It's gonna... Because, okay, and then do you want to talk about what K2 is? Because I know we have fans not in Myrtle and Broadway, in Bushwick,
or 125th and, like,
125th and Lennox. Can you tell people what K2 is for the fans that don't live in condemned buildings in New York City?
Oh my God. So it's basically it's synthetic weed, but they market it as, like, air freshener or something like that, and so that's why they can sell it at bodegas and stuff. And so it's like people will just buy it at the bodega, and it smells like, no joke, it smells like car oil or like...
Jesus. No, it's like aerosol. Like, you're smoking aerosol. It's crazy. So anyway, but that shit makes you hallucinate and, like, super violent too. Like, that's the reefer madness. But anyway, so he would smoke K2.
So, like, I think that explains some of his behavior. So he'd be smoking K2. Like, sometimes he'd be like, dog, you have to get off that. But anyway, so it would be my day off or something, and I would get a Facebook message, and it would just be, like, a picture of him with a new hairstyle.
Yeah, and we gotta say, okay, this guy's, like, a very skinny, like, white Latino.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's, like, Puerto Rican or Dominican, but he's...
He was Dominican, I think.
I didn't want to claim him, but thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. He was like, but he was very fair skinned, you know, he wasn't a dark Dominican. I'm saying, like, Lin-Manuel Miranda type Latino. And he would, and then what were the hairstyles that he would have?
So at first it was just like new cuts, and then one day, this is the day that I was like, Millie, oh my God. He sends me a picture, I open it up, and it's like a full, like, a bundle of like, yucky hair, yucky braiding hair on top of his head, and he's like, do you know how to braid? Can you braid? braid my hair. And I'm like, bitch, I don't even know how to braid my own hair. Like, I'm not coming to braid your yucky bundle. Like,
he got it, like, sewn in, and then he wanted you to fucking, oh, man. And then he found someone to braid his hair, though.
And then he found someone to braid his hair, and he had, like, he looks like, he should have been an extra in Mad Max for a while. Like,
wait, Fury Road?
Yeah.
Like, why? Because I'm trying to, like, the long hair?
Yes.
Oh, jeez, you're fucked.
The long hair, and he was, like, ashy. I really think that was, like, in the depths of his K2. I think he stopped, though.
Those guys stop, and then they instantly have 3 kids.
Yes. He seems to be doing much better now, so props to him. I'm not going to say his name.
Yeah, good for him. Good for him.
But just the Yaki bundle really, like, it took me out.
Well, really he's Dominican, so we can only assume that his name is Anneudis. So, okay. So, TR, back to you.
Yes.
What are some red flags you've chosen to ignore in the past? AKA white dreads or anything. Any red flags that, you know.
So many.
I can think of 8, so.
Right. Let's see. A 40-year-old comedian trying to date a 25-year-old, that was a red flag. I shouldn't have even started.
Yeah.
Hip-hop improv is a red flag.
No comment. Man, if only you had a good friend to tell you that was a bad idea. Anyway, any other red flags? If only you had a really good friend with gap teeth and curly hair that would sit you down and be like, yo, what's going on?
Oh, dog. It was like...
No, it's okay. We partied hard. Yeah, no, it was, you know, it was okay.
Improv was a wild scene. Honestly, I partied more doing improv than, like, ever before. And, like, I hung out with so many different people. Like, Columbia was so full of just, like, rich crackheads who had access to everything, and I did not, like, go, like, hang out as much as I did with, like, improv people.
But also, there's also rich crackheads that do improv, obviously, but there's a lot of poor crackheads, too. Poor white crackheads are just fucking up.
I mean, that's a red flag, like... Comedian in general is a red flag. I hate to say it. Like,
you know what? It's only because we're comedians that we see it. But, like, it's I like to think that it's all, you know, it's just all dick is trash. That's the thing. I'm like, if I avoid comedians, then I won't be with trash. But the thing is, all dick is trash. So right. Everyone's trash. But the certain kind of way that a comedian is trash, like, as a comedian, I have low tolerance for. You know, because it's not about, like, if people are not trash. Everyone's trash. Right. All dick is trash. We've established it. This is our fucking 11th episode. So right. We already know the deal. But,
yeah, I'm saying comedians, but, like, I've dated tech dudes who are so trash.
Oh, my God. Can you talk about that date with the very popular money transfer app?
Wait, was it the one where I went on a date and he was, like, the founder? So he worked at, like, I forget which one now.
I think anyway, it was Venmo. I didn't want to say the name. But, yeah, if you don't know the name, you went on a date with the guy who created Venmo.
It was Venmo, yeah. But I met him on Coffee Meets Bagel.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I actually worked in tech for a little bit, so... I was like, cool, tech dude. He's a founder. Awesome. So I go on this date, and it was the worst. It was so awkward, so bad. He, at one point, asked me, he was like, so what's your life mission statement? And I was like, dude, God. I'm just trying to find out, like, you know, where you went to middle school or something. Like, I don't know. Just tell me a story about yourself. Like, I'll tell you a story about myself. He's like, what's your life statement? And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, write it down, because it's like everyone has to have a statement. And so he gives me a piece of paper and is like making me write down my life statement. Meanwhile, I'm like dying inside and like signaling the bartender with my eyes. And so that happens. And then he tries to get me, he's like, I'm missing out on my friend's race. Like, I'm kind of like a mentor to him, and he's doing this like marathon in Pittsburgh. Do you want to fly with me to Pittsburgh?
Oh my God. If I had a fucking dollar every time a white tech guy is like, hey, do you want to come do this spontaneous trip with me? I got invited to Atlantic City at like one in the morning with these two white tech guys that were in from, they were like worked for Apple, and like they're in from San Francisco and all this shit. And I'm like, if you don't get.
This guy wasn't white though. This guy was Indian, but he was a tech guy.
Oh fuck. Sorry.
But yeah, no, tech dudes are like also like on another level. Like,
oh, yeah, corniness on another level. On you know, whole, yeah, like comedians are like mentally ill.
Mm-hmm. They're like, watch my set. My mother hates me.
Yeah, they're like, do you ever like want to fuck your mom? What? No.
And then they cry.
Oh my God.
Like, then tech dudes are like, I just feel like human touch is overrated. Like, I think we need an app where you can like go downstairs and get like detergent. And everyone's like, that's a bodega. And they're like, we're gonna call it bodega. Like,
yeah, no, exactly. It's just trash in a different way. I like to say, like, in Japan they have all these different like recycling bins. Like, you know, based on like your region, right? It's like you have to know the recycling rules for everywhere you are in Japan. Like, because some places, there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's like these kind of plastics and hard plastics and soft plastics and compost and, you know. And you have to be up to date with like what the regions are or you can get fined. You know, but they're all obviously garbage. And that's what I feel like about men. It's just like, look, it's all trash. You just have to know what your rules are and what can accept them, what goes in what bin.
Right, exactly.
But it's all, you know, it's all trash. But yeah, that's how, that's so funny. Yeah, so comedians are meant to be able, but tech people are insane. And the finance guys are just both of that.
Oh, yeah.
They're mentally ill, but also like, fucking
serial killers. Racist.
Yeah, well.
One time I went to a finance Halloween party with my friends, and I was dressed up as Storm from X-Men because I love Storm. And everyone at that party, and it didn't matter like whether they were like white, black, Asian, whatever, like all the dudes were like, are you Nicki Minaj?
Oh no.
I'm literally dressed up as a superhero with like this white wig. It's not even blonde. And everybody was like, oh wow, so you're Nicki Minaj tonight? Cool.
Remember that one party that we went to? I don't even know where this, we were fucking blackout drunk and we had went out to pasta with those two guys. And then one of the guys is like, let's go to my cousin's house. And
yes.
It's the only place, like, I don't even remember what part of town we were in. And we walked for, like, 40 minutes. But, like, it was the first place, the first and only place I've ever been to in New York. Like, that apartment was wild. It had plush carpeting, wall to wall, the whole apartment. And I've been to really nice places in New York City. I've never been to an apartment like that where I had, like, white, plush, wall to wall carpeting. And everybody, but there's been so many parties that I've been to in nice places that I'm like, everyone in this entire party, and I've been like crashing too, even crashing, I like will go into a party, I'm like, everyone in this party is a fucking dweeb, a bunch of fucking losers. And that party was definitely one of the parties where I'm like, oh, everyone is a fucking dweeb. Like, I swear to God, they were playing, like, Imagine Dragons, and people were, like, dancing.
Oh, sincerely. Like, that's my jam.
Stop. Yeah, they were like, oh, my God, I love this song. And it was, like, Radioactive by Imagine Dragons. And it was, like, white plush carpeting. And everyone was drinking fucking Lagunitas, like, pale ale.
I, Listen, though, I do love a good Lagunitas IPA.
You know what? And honestly, in COVID times, I'd go back. I'd go to any party. I feel bad. You know what? This is a humble, like, this is like how we learn humility in New York, because I'm like, you know, I was too snobby. I was too pretentious.
Right. Dog, you don't even know. I've been just like working on my knee strength because I'm just going to go out.
Oh, yeah. That's what I should be doing.
And just twerk on everything. Like, hot girl summer, like 2.0. For the, like, 2 minutes we're going to be outside.
Oh, my God. Tiara, next question. Mm-hmm. So, without naming names, if you don't want to, you know, again, this is all, like, what you want. But if you want to, you can. But if you don't, that's fine. But without naming names or venue, what's been your most trash experience in comedy? And, again, it doesn't, like, I'm not even necessarily talking about dating. It could be talking about, like, a bad shoot or whatever, you know what I mean? And I know you got a lot. I can think of eight for you too, because I know.
Really? What are you thinking of now?
No, because I'm thinking of eight for me, of like fuck ass web series that I took, like unpaid web series where I took an Uber to get there early, and I said I had a hard out at 2, and I don't start filming my one line until 2:30.
Oh my God, yeah, that happens all the time.
And they don't even give you food.
Yeah, I mean, I have had those experiences. The one that I, like, thought of immediately, though, it does have something to do with dating a little bit, because it's, like, not a particular thing, but, like, my most trash comedy experience comes from dating a comedian, mm-hmm. and, like, I used to punch up his stuff all the time. Like, I would punch up his stuff. I would, like, watch all his shows. I, like, knew his jokes by heart. I would, like, help him work on his order. I would help him with packets.
Oh, my God.
And, like, in hindsight, I was just, like, I was wasting all of that creative energy on, like, stuff for him that he, like, wouldn't even give me credit for. Like, he didn't even, if you think about it, it's, like, he should have, like, introduced me to his manager or, like, some manager or somebody, like, or, like, helped me write packets and stuff like that. Like, I literally would go over his packets and stuff. And then we worked on a pilot together. I had an idea for a pilot that was, like, pretty much based. It was, like, it was centering black people. So, you know, it wasn't, like, his idea.
Because he's not black, he's white, yeah.
Yeah. And so we were, like, we didn't even write it together necessarily, but I was going over the idea with him. And he would give me some suggestions and stuff. And then, and this was actually after we had broken up, but we were still, like, cool enough that I was like, okay, let's work on this thing. Because I didn't feel like I could do it on my own, which is stupid because I could have. And after a while, I was just like, it's too difficult working with you. Like, the same reason why we didn't work as a relationship, mm-hmm. it's, like, difficult to work with you as a writer. And when I was like, I'm just going to write it on my own, he had the nerve to, like, give me a hard time. He was like, well, technically I started working on it with you, so we should keep working. Like, you shouldn't do it by yourself.
But, like, also too, like, isn't it about your fucking family story or something? Like,
right.
Your personal experience.
It was just the most, and again, this is, like, I was younger, it was just so annoying and discouraging, and, like, I kind of just, like, left it alone because I was so annoyed with the experience. And honestly, that was, like, the most trash comedy experience, because, like all of that energy should have been directed towards me. So,
but we have to learn our lessons, you know, and then, right. Like, you know, I, like, you, it will be, and it can be, and every day is new, and, like, you know, all this other inspiring Buddhist shit that we have to tell ourselves. But, you know, honestly, like, I feel like that's also a fear that a lot of women, especially female comedians, have about dating comedians, is that, you know, they want you to be their Miss Maisel, mm-hmm. in the beginning of, like, punch up their shit, you know? And it just goes back into, like, women and the idea of women and female labor and not being valued, you know what I'm saying? Right. And it's just like we're expected to give unconditionally and to just give and give because we like to, you know, and not have any benefit. But they would never ask a male partner to, like, do any of that shit that, you know, right. they expect from us, you know, without any kind of reciprocation, but it's just expected of us to do. So, yeah, that's totally like a fucking fear that I'm sure, you know, a lot of people have, and a lot of successful comedians do have relationships like that, where they are, you know, like Jim Gaffigan's wife writes all his shit and like all that stuff, you know? So like, that's totally a fear. And like, I even was talking to a friend and she was like, I don't date comedians that are more famous than me for that reason, because they, you know, they do, and they don't have any fucking intent. But I really hope you do pick up that pilot again, especially now we got the damn time. I have pilots that, like, I just, like, sent a friend a pilot that I had from 2 years ago that was bought out by another company with 2 years usage, and it just expired. But my friend was like, you should totally do this again. And I'm like, yeah, like, I do have the fucking time.
Right, I know. Now is the time to, like, bring all that stuff back. But, yeah, that was just, like, that was definitely a lesson. And, yeah, you're right. Because, like, he was, like, an established, like, he was a professional comedy writer, because that's how I met him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, like, wow, you were just, like, mean. And also did not want to give me any shine.
Yeah, you know what it is, though? Because it's... But so many men do this, and I don't even think they do it consciously, because I'm not saying that, you know, again, it's this expected thing, but so many men, like, especially even men that I've worked with, like, have dulled the shine or told you that you're nothing without them and this and that, and it's happened to so many women in every industry of, like, you know, hey, you have to work with me, you're nothing without me, you're this and that, like... Look at, like, Ike and Tina Turner shit. And even, like, that's obviously an extreme case because he was also abusing her. But at the same time, so many men do that kind of shit. And, like, it really is, like, well, what's reality, you know? Like, do you really think that I'm not going to make it without you? And it's like, no, it's their fear because they know that you can.
Right, you know?
So they have to keep you small. And I feel like a lot of it is subconscious, you know? They're subconsciously keeping you small and, like, well, whatever. And then one day you realize, like, wait, I actually don't fucking need you, and I can do interesting, fun shit.
Right, and it's also just, like, people, like, they have their own paradigm in their head, so they want to, like, impose it upon you. Because he used to give me shit all the time, too, about, like, the fact that I was also doing improv. And, like, I was doing stand-up and improv, so I wasn't doing stand-up, like, 5 times a night. But I was also doing improv every other night that I wasn't doing stand-up. And he would just, like, put me down so hard. He was like, you don't take it seriously. And he was like, excuse me?
Honestly, though, like, and I talk about this, too, with comedians about, like, improv versus stand-up and stuff. And I'm like... It's all really hard, and the thing that makes me upset or pisses me off is when somebody, like, downplays another and all this stuff. And I feel like if we're talking about writing or acting, and we're talking about acting and sketch acting and stuff, improv is incredibly useful. Right. But if we're talking about writing and, like, having that discipline of, like, you know, then it's all important, but it's just, like, I hate that attitude of, like, oh, you're not taking... It's like, just shut up.
Right, exactly.
Well, speaking... While we're on the subject, I want to hear, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be improv, but I want to hear a little bit about what's your dream project? If you could have everything, you know, right, like, what would it look like?
Okay, cool. Well, I know... Okay, I'll start with, like, something that I want to do, like, soon, hopefully, is I would love to be on What We Do in the Shadows. Like, that's one of my favorite.
Okay. They film in New York, right?
I don't think they film in New York.
I feel like it's possible.
It's possible. It's definitely possible.
We're manifesting.
I love that movie. I love that show. I love Taika Waititi. Like, that is totally my tone. And, like, in that vein, it's, like, I would love to create and, like, star in a show that is just that, like, fun, irreverent, but, like, kind of nerdy, but a little bit horror, like, genre. Like,
yeah. So, for, last question before lightning round.
Mm-hmm.
Tiara, what is your favorite emo band?
Oh, this is hard.
I know.
I guess, okay. Because also, emo gets defined so broadly.
You see, this is how much of a nerd she is. She's like, well, what does emo mean? Because the whole movement, like, there's post, like goth there's goth emo, there's like post hardcore emo. I mean, you see how she leaves it open for me. I'm sorry.
So in terms of like goth or like theatrical, like emo, like some people include A Perfect Circle, which was like one of my favorite bands growing up. Okay. And then like Interpol is more like New York rock. So
it's not emo, but honestly, obsessed.
Interpol was like one of my, did I ever tell you that I kissed the bassist from Interpol?
No, you have not, Tiara. You trash ass bitch. Jesus Christ. You know, and she, first of all, I just want everyone to know, right, that Interpol is not even close to emo music. This is how Tiara works. She literally mentioned Interpol so she can tell us about how she made out with the bassist.
I did not make out with him. It was on the cheek. It was on.
So you literally brought up Interpol into this conversation that had nothing to do with it. So you can talk about how you kissed the... Yo, I hate you, dog. Is there any other kind of... fuck. Any other band that, yeah, you want to talk about?
I mean, okay, so traditionally emo, I don't know, because again, they're not emo, like the Mars
Volta. I feel like A Perfect Circle is like close though. You're right. Like,
yeah, A Perfect Circle is more like, it's a little more like goth emo, but,
like post hardcore.
Yeah. Like At the Drive-In and the Mars Volta was like some of my favorite stuff. And then,
At the Drive-In's emo, Mars Volta is not.
Yeah, exactly. So, At the Drive-In, I think who else would be considered emo? Well, My Chemical Romance.
Oh, man, you know what? And this is, COVID was like, ain't no Black Parade coming. Oh. COVID, I might tweet that. Like,
oh, no.
Like, with the Raven Simone laughing.
Oh, my God. I love it. It's like, her, like, lives are so good. I only want to watch her lives and,
Cardi B's?
Cardi B, and then, oh, my God, how am I blanking on this? It'll come to me, but she had a live, it's, like, I like when female rappers have, women twerking, because it feels less like the male gaze.
Mm.
And what's her face? God, I'm blanking on her name right now. But you know, Meg Thee Stallion? Young M.A. had a live the other day, and she kept on, like, bringing women on to twerk. And I watched the entire, like, hour-long live.
I can't believe you got your cousin's, the person who beefs with Schizo. Tiara's cousin is, like, a lesbian rapper, and she's amazing.
She's so good. Everyone go listen to Who is Schizo.
Who is Schizo,
after
yeah.
After you listen to this. After you listen to every episode
of All Dick is Trash, please listen to Who is Schizo. You know, Young M.A. makes, you know, this is a whole other fucking conversation about how you don't have to have a dick to participate in patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess it makes me uncomfortable how much Young M.A. participates in patriarchy and objectifies. But that, you know, that's just patriarchy and like product of her environment and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's just a little disappointing because, you know, you know, and it's not fair. Like, you want like these queer people, or you want, you know, people to be a little bit more woke than they are. And that's just not reality, but you just hope that they grow or whatever.
Yeah, no, it was definitely, and it's like her cousin was there and they were, it was a little awful, but also it's like, we're in quarantine and I have tequila and
crazy. Okay. Lightning round. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready? So yes. Lightning round. Yes.
Wait, I forgot Glassjaw. That's the one.
Glassjaw?
Yeah.
Is your favorite emo band?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad you added that, because that's obviously so important. lightning round. Trash or nah? We're going through. I'm going to say something, and you just say trash or nah, and then at the end you can, you know, add other opinions, but we're going to keep this moving. Trash or nah? Voter suppression.
Trash.
Bad Bunny and drag.
Nah.
Spontaneous quarantine motivated crying.
Nah.
Tiger King.
Nah.
Alien Ant Farm.
Well, he is trash, but it's not a trash show.
Okay. Alien Ant Farm.
Nah.
90 Day Fiancé.
Ooh. Trash that I love.
All right. Okay. Any thoughts or anything you want to add about that? Or?
Wow. Well, let me just say spontaneous crying. Just let all of your emotions out. You know, of course. Don't try to hold it in during this quarantine. What else, man? Tiger King, everyone was a trash person on that.
You know who the only person who but probably has abused a lot of animals? The Scarface guy, the literal Scarface guy, was the best character. He was self-aware. Yes. He's just chilling. He's just like, you know, he don't get it too involved with any of those white people. And he just minds his business with his ape monkeys and his Cuban wife.
And his Cuban wife. Yes, the Cuban dude. Like, he was just chilling. He was the only one in that. Everybody else was wiling out. The Bogvon, I was like, first of all.
Bogvon?
No.
wild, North Carolina.
Right, exactly. Stop claiming it, okay? Do not. But they were all trash. What else? Bad Bunny. I mean, I love that song.
I don't think that, I actually think it's pretty hot that he's in drag. And there's this video where he, like, jumps on his girlfriend and makes out with her and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, in drag. So cute.
I thought that was pretty hot. I was like, ooh, I get it.
Bad Bunny is so hot. I really like every time I see his pictures, I'm so mad that I'm like not in a warm place during all of this.
My friend's in Puerto Rico because she's in Puerto Rico for med school and it's not it. She's like not happy, but
yeah, I shouldn't say that because it's like that's also very different, like. If you're just a regular person versus, like, a celebrity, of course, like, celebrities are having the time of their lives. Just
well,
like,
they're bored, too. They're like, oh, my God, get me out of here. It feels like prison. You see Ellen? This is prison.
She was like, I'm in prison.
It's how like, the fuck are you in girl, prison when though. You have a... Oh, my God.
It's like, you have a shower. You probably have several showers that you can use.
A tub, dog. A soaking tub. A clawfoot tub.
Right. You can vote.
Yeah, you vote. Okay, Tiara, to wrap up your segment, your interview, we're so happy to have you. Can you give us one wholesome, you know, happy, fond memory that restored your faith in humanity?
Let's see. I'll make this love related ish. I think, there's one thing, not to be like,
when you had a good friend of yours take pictures of you in a chicken restaurant in Bushwick.
Yes, every time I take a photo of me, any friend who takes a thirst trap of me, I know it's like real friendship.
a thirst trap of you. In a chicken spot, not a KFC, a bootleg KFC in the hood, and they have bright lighting because they don't want anyone to fall asleep in there. And your friend passes you the phone and says, "The lighting's good in here. Can you take a thirst trap of me?" That's love. But continue.
Yeah, but I guess this is gonna be informed by our times of COVID. But I don't know, just like seeing every nurse out there who's like really trying, like. You know, seeing my mom, like, going to work. I have other friends whose mothers also happen to work in, like, hospitals or assisted living facilities. So that's really, like, restoring my humanity. And then everyone who's, like, doing something for them, like, all the people giving them meals. I was so happy to hear that the SGI donated masks to hospitals in New York and LA.
The SGI is our Buddhist organization that both me and Tiara belong to, and it's so crazy because I actually met Tiara in my Buddhist center, not like through comedy, and I took her under my wing, and I know she both regrets it, hates me, and loves me so much and is forever indebted. So
it exemplifies the 10 worlds.
We're not going to go deep into Buddhist concepts. All right. Well, thank you for coming on, Tiara. It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you for listening to the All Dick is Trash podcast. The All Dick is Trash podcast is produced by Candy Harrell, and we are part of the More Banana Podcast Network. Our founder and managing producer is Kate Moldenhauer. If you would like to share an anonymous confession, email trashdickconfession@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at ADIT Podcast. And of course, you can always follow me, your host, Millie Tamaris, on Twitter at Millie Tamaris. Stay classy, y'all.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.